This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the 45th podcast. I'm here with Suraj, and just a forewarning, this episode will be a little bit short today due to a lot of things going on. But we got a lot to catch up on, and I think we should start off with an update from this morning. So, Suraj, to start this episode, what are your feelings about the Space Force?
You know, this is actually brand new to me. I saw a little bit on Twitter. So explain to me real quick what it is, and I will react appropriately for all of our listeners in the most rawest, purest sense.
Well, a Space Force is when you get your military, you take your Air Force, you put it in the space.
Finally. I can't believe it. I'm so glad we're going to be fighting aliens again.
I don't think the goal is to fight aliens. I mean, if aliens attack, then I'd probably be like, well, for once I was wrong and Trump was right. We needed a Space Force. But short of that happening, this is an entirely bullshit idea.
Well, talking about funding and government appropriations, not the best use of our government's efforts at the moment, considering the fact that we're in the middle of an immigration crisis and still trying to make things work with North Korea. So I get NASA. You know, NASA is great in terms of space exploration and how we've been able to understand what's around us, as well as medical research and development that comes with it. Because, you know, without NASA, we probably wouldn't have been able to cure or find treatments for a lot of the diseases that humans currently suffer from.
But a space force would not be NASA. A space force would be a militarized space force, which, okay, obviously there's expense factors to consider. There's the fact that we don't fucking need one. But probably the biggest concern here is the danger to world stability. And so far, no one has militarized space. That is not that by mutual agreement and mutual behavior, we have left space as a no-go zone for military. I mean, yes, there's obviously things going on. There's missiles, there's satellites. And yes, there are military operations involved parts of space. But so far, no one's actually put a damn space force together like Trump wants to do.
Yeah, and I'm just seeing a quote right now from Trump saying, quote, "We must have American dominance in space. Very importantly, I am hereby directing the Department of Defense and Pentagon to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a space force as the sixth branch of the armed forces," end quote. It reminds me a lot of the space race in the 1960s and 70s, competing against the Soviet Union.
But that was for bragging rights, not for, like, nuclear dominance.
Yeah, no, I know. And the fact that it doesn't seem like Russia really cares at this point. It just seems like we're caring too much about something, a threat that doesn't exist.
It will exist now that we care about it.
I guess that's true, too. Wait till ISIS starts their space force.
I mean, once again, we're talking about something Trump has said as if it's actually real and will happen. So maybe there's nothing to be concerned about here because Trump is just talking like usual, but
he could very well be bullshitting. But then again, you know, this is Trump. He's capable of anything.
It could be the new wall.
It could be. The wall we didn't know we needed.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of walls, you know, a lot of the chatter has been about immigration, specifically focusing on the Trump administration's policy of separating children from their families. And the Department of Homeland Security on Friday confirmed that almost 2,000 children have been separated from their accompanying adults, whether it be their parent, their aunt, uncle, grandparent, what have you. And they've been held in these detention facilities like in McAllen, Texas, where a lot of congressional members were at over the weekend. And there have been descriptions of children and adults being held in cages. Trump supporters have been trying to soften the language, saying, oh, they're not cages, they're just fencing. And, you know, I mean, if
fenced enclosures, that's all they are.
I mean, the fact of the matter is they're still detained regardless. And, you know, President Trump is out here blaming Democrats. He said a few things basically on Friday in kind of an impromptu press conference where he said that Democrats could change the laws pretty much today or tonight by coming together really through the Senate and giving an extra 9 or 10 votes to an immigration reform bill. Now, while we're recording this, it's a Monday. This will come out later this week. We'll have a better idea by the time this thing goes along on Tuesday. President Trump is supposed to be going to Capitol Hill and discussing this House leadership bill and a good lap bill. A lot of it, he's trying to keep these four pillars of immigration. I can't name all of them off the top of my head. Of course, there's like E-Verify, there's ending catch and release, there's ending the visa lottery system, and then giving the 1.8 million undocumented immigrants who came to this country illegally as children a pathway to citizenship. Trump railed against this discharge petition that happened in the last week. And just to give you an idea what a discharge petition is, it's really Democrats coming together with about 30 moderate Republicans in the House to try to get over that 218 vote line to pass a bill. And what they're doing is trying to get something on the floor for a vote without having to go through the House Speaker or through House leadership. It's basically like a kind of like a back end deal. Like it goes around the House Speaker in terms of his authority to rule on whether a vote should take place on this. So Trump railed against that on Friday, and that basically that bill kind of fizzled out. Where we currently stand, if we get anything going on immigration, I'm not 100% sure if any of these will actually address, you know, these child detention centers, you know, the separation of families, and really just being held in these cages. And that's kind of disheartening. And there are a lot of questions that need to be answered.
Yeah. So before I started recording today, I mentioned I kind of had a hard day. And then while waiting to start recording, I listened to a new release that just came out of audio from ProPublica, I believe, and it was of recordings of the children being held in these, I mean, it's called what they are, detention camps, concentration camps, and they're just, like, screaming and calling for their mom and dad, and I don't know, it's probably been a long day, and that's why, but maybe it's because it's fucking terrible and brutal, and hearing that, I don't think I've felt rage that way before during the Trump administration. I've been angry a lot, I've been pissed and snarky, but, like, hearing that, I just wanted to fucking throw something across the room.
Like, yeah, and the fact that the U.S. could be holding 30,000 children by the end of August if nothing gets fixed.
You can't even put it that way. What we're doing right now, it's not even hiding it. Trump is actively harming children in order to have a more racist immigration policy implemented. Like, we are... The fact that I'm part of a country that's doing that, and this country's been terrible things for a long time. I'm not trying to say it's like a new thing that way, but this is so open and so horrible and brutal. How do we come back from this?
That's a good question. I really don't know. And I understand that Trump is trying to use the separation of families as a negotiating tool to try to get...
No, he's using deliberately harming small children.
No, I'm just stating, I'm so angry right now. I'm just stating what he's claiming, that he's trying to use it. He's suggesting that he's using it as a negotiating tool. And yeah, I mean, like, if it's effective, that's one thing. But no. I, at the end of the day, do the ends justify the means? Obviously, to me, the answer is no.
Never. There's not even a question there. It's literally torturing children because you want to make sure there's less brown people here in America. And the best way you can think of to do it is to harm kids. Like, this isn't even like a policy base. It's just like a flat out immoral, inhumane, and yes, it's Nazi-like. I know there have been several people upset that there have been suggestions that what they're doing is Nazi-like, but it's fucking Nazi-like.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that they need to do now is just gas all the families and children, like, if they really wanted to.
I know it sounds like brutal, like that's as if it's like an extreme example. This is really escalating fast. I think why I'm so scared and angry right now is that it feels like we are much less far away from that possibility than I'd ever thought I'd see in my lifetime. Between the comments Trump's been making about praising North Korea and wanting, more North Korean-like tendencies in America and this, yeah, we have a recipe for disaster in our hands.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's already a disaster. It's a humanitarian crisis. And there are certain things that we can do, but the damage is already done. And we're detaining thousands of children and keeping them away from their parents. And while the Trump administration says they're trying to use this as a strong deterrent for future immigrants crossing illegally into the country, you know, I don't believe the Trump administration thinks that all of these immigrants are getting the message, considering the fact that they're traveling They're being smuggled up here. They're crossing over by foot. I mean, it's not like they are in tune with the news of the day or pay attention to everything that's coming out of the Trump White House with respect to immigration policy, because that's I mean, they might. I think there's like a very small sliver of undocumented immigrants who actually understand what the Trump policy is towards handling illegal immigrants. And that's
but we'll keep in mind, we're not even just talking about illegal immigrants. We're talking about asylum seekers, people who come legally under international law. They're not breaking the law. This is not a crime. They're seeking asylum. And we're people who are legally coming into this country in order to deter others from coming to this country legally. We're taking their children away. I saw a report earlier of an 8-month-old child held for weeks away from his family.
Yeah, I mean, and the picture's coming out. That obviously doesn't do any doing the Trump administration any favors. It's a difficult position for them to be in. And, you know, Melania Trump is even speaking out against it as well. You got Laura Bush, you got Michelle Obama.
This is such a joke. It's such a crazy joke. I mean, I guess there's some small hope for America. It's not even a small... The fact that, yes, most people hate this policy, I mean, we still have that going for us, but it doesn't matter. The fact that only, I think, 27% of people approve of it, the Republicans have the power, and the Republicans don't care how unpopular it is. They don't even seem... I would like to believe in my heart of hearts that despite the fact that they're supporting it and they're just as guilty because of it, I'd like to think at least 4 or 5 of them wouldn't necessarily want this. But because of our current political situation, they are going to support it. They are the only ones who can stop it. And despite the fact the majority of America would not want this to happen, they have sold their souls to Trump. Collins, especially, I forgot that she used to be she ever used to be the moderate one, but she's fully on the Trump train now and supporting this. And, oh God, I just feel so much more hopeless sometimes. And just, that video probably is why I'm so upset right now. I mean, yes, it was happening before, but hearing it is just sickening.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch the video after we stop recording just to get an idea of what is actually going on. Because, it's a nightmare.
And keep in mind, it's not just this. There's also the fact that they've now decided, Sessions has put up with all the abuse from Trump so they can abuse others by declaring that gang violence and domestic violence are no longer bases for claiming asylum. At the same time, of course, Trump has decided using the gang violence and, you know, domestic violence and rape as a reason why they can't come in. So it's bad enough where that has to rule our immigration policy, but not bad enough where you can actually claim asylum because of it somehow. And there was also a horrific decision recently from, again, the DOJ has decided that a woman who was seeking asylum in the U.S. is not entitled to asylum because while she was in her home country, she and her husband were kidnapped. She was forced to watch as her husband was forced to dig his own grave and then shot and killed and buried in the grave he dug. And then she was enslaved and made to do camp labor until she escaped and came to America. But because she performed slave labor for the terrorists and guerrillas that held her, she was aiding a terrorist group and is therefore ineligible for asylum and will be deported. And yes, this is a court decision. They agreed with the DOJ on this, but the court and the DOJ found that it doesn't matter if you were enslaved. If you aided these groups in any way, you are not eligible.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. Insurance offered by Travel Guard Group Inc. and underwritten by National Union Fire Insurance Company of Pittsburgh, PA. For a complete description of the coverage, limitations, and exclusions, go to TravelGuard.com. This ad does not describe actual events and is used for illustrative purposes only.
What are your summer travel plans? Now, for me, some folks would like to stay in Washington, D.C. all summer, but every now and then I like to get out of town. You know, for example, I would like to go to Paris or maybe even see Notre Dame or the Eiffel Tower. And if you're like me and you're a big planner, sometimes things don't always go as planned. I tend to always run late for flights. Sometimes flights get delayed or canceled. So for the times when trips don't go as planned, there's AIG Travel Guard. So take, for example, in April, I went down to Florida. I was hoping to meet my girlfriend there too. And she couldn't make the trip. So it would have actually been better if I had AIG Travel Guard. Travel Guard staff is available 24/7 to help. And you can get coverage for as low as $30 when you text 45th to 48-48-48. The great thing is, with Travel Guard, if I had to cancel my girlfriend's trip, or say if she just could not make the trip or she got sick, Travel Guard would have reimbursed me for the non-refundable flight. And Travel Guard plans work anywhere in the world. Their coverage includes flight and hotel rebooking, flight cancellation, interruption or delay, lost or delayed baggage, medical expenses and evacuation, passport or ticket replacement assistance. So get coverage now for just $30. Text 45th to 484848. That's 45th to 484848. 45TH2 484848. I don't know how the Trump administration climbs out of this one. It's going to be a stain on his presidency. I mean, as if we can think that the presidency couldn't get any lower than this, apart from the lies and apart from, you know, all the horrible policy decisions that they've enacted, this just seems to hit even harder. And, you know, honestly, I'm like amazed that there's even a level of shock that people never felt they could have with respect to Trump's immigration policy. But here we are.
But let's remember how Trump is actually responding to these criticisms. His main response is to simply say that the Democrats are doing this.
Obviously, that's ridiculous since the Trump administration, since, you know, the White House, House and Senate are all controlled by Republicans. It's the type of demagoguery that, you know, we've come to expect. Because, you know, Trump can do no wrong, apparently.
It's authoritarian propaganda. And we have Secretary Nielsen, who in May was talking about how the policy was separate children from families. And then yesterday starts tweeting about how dare the fake news media suggest that it's a policy to separate children from their families. We don't do that. And now today is back to defending the policy of separating children from their families. The truth does not matter to Trump and his supporters. It is now openly so. They do not want the truth reported if it harms Trump. They prefer the lies to be out there. And if the news reports the truth about Trump and the truth looks bad, that means the media is the enemy of the people, which Trump tweeted out again today, I think, or yesterday.
Did you pay attention to the Department of Justice Inspector General report?
God, I have not read it yet, and it is killing me. I have followed it some.
Well, it's a good 500 pages long if you wanted to really sit down for a good leisurely read. But, you know, just to summarize what we've found in the report, you know, the DOJ IG report found that former FBI Director James Comey was, quote, insubordinate and that he, quote, affirmatively concealed his intentions from DOJ leadership. And this is exclusively focused on the Clinton investigation. There have been some revelations with respect to how this has also impacted Trump and his campaign. But really, the crux of the report is that they found there was no political bias on part of the agents and lawyers who were investigating Hillary Clinton's email server. However, there was some political bias and on part of, well, this is more me editorializing right here, that there was more political bias kind of shown from former FBI investigator Peter Strzok and FBI attorney Lisa Page. And what's interesting, though, is that the text messages that they kind of obtained between the two of them seemed to show that there was a lot of anti-Trump bias, but that it was did not impact their jobs with respect to the Clinton investigation. A lot of people are seeing that as bullshit. Susan, what are your thoughts?
Without having read the report, I can't obviously say in detail, but, you know, Horowitz has a good reputation. From what I've seen, I don't think it's unfair to say that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were biased. But at the same time, as the report found, there's no evidence that actually impacted anything in the investigation. So the fact, I mean, that's not to say it shouldn't have been addressed, which is what the IG is here for. But of course, this environment is absolutely politicized, and Trump is going to use it to be evidence of things that never happened. We also know, however, that from the report, for instance, former Attorney General Laura Lynch testified that she and Comey discussed the problem of the New York field office and how senior people there, the most senior people there, had such an ingrained hatred of Hillary Clinton that it had brought them to the place they were now with regard to the investigation and impacted their decisions and was the cause, in some cases, of the acts that Comey was found to have been insubordinate for. So while the report did not actually find evidence of any sort of action or disaction taken because of any bias, what it did suggest, and this was not the focus of the report was not this, so it's not a finding, but what the testimony and evidence does seem to show in the report is that the FBI's actions were impacted by their hatred of Hillary Clinton in a way that was deeply harmful to her campaign. That part is not in the report, but however, we know that that deep-seated hatred from New York motivated Comey to act as he did in making his announcements, to go around the DOJ and to announce it himself, his decision to publicly announce that he reopened the Wiener server thing, all of which had a real impact on the election and were caused not by Comey's bias, but by his hand being forced, essentially, or him feeling his hand was forced by the New York office.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that, you know, with respect to the actual investigation, that the findings came out in July of 2016, and then Comey kind of going back and sending that letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee in October, the October surprise, it was being dubbed. It's very hard to make the case that the FBI was being biased against Trump in any investigation focusing on Hillary Clinton. It seems like they screwed over Hillary more so than they screwed over Trump. I think the justification behind going after Trump was more so kind of like this. You ever heard of the deep state, Susan?
Unfortunately, all too often for couple of years.
Yeah, so I actually kind of like this, how people have kind of been describing the deep state, because, you know, some people dismiss it outright as a conspiracy theory. I think there is some level of truth to it. You know, there's like bureaucracy, which is one aspect of the deep state. It's basically the powers that be kind of keeping the status quo. And then you have things like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who have texted each other that they wanted to stop Trump from ever becoming president. That's like the deep state trying to affect an election outcome.
Except, whoa. There's actually no, that's not what the texts say and not what the texts show. They show bias. And also,
even let me get to my point, though.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, like, you know, we've had people like Sean Hannity describe the deep state as this, like, all-powerful, like, working behind the scenes shadow government. And, they give this, like, House of Cards-esque, you know, painting of what the deep state is. I really feel that it's, you know, more so like it operates like an episode of Veep, if you ever watched the show Veep, and how just everything is so incompetent. And whether or not Strzok and Page actually wanted to act on it, even if they decided to do it, they failed miserably and kind of really undercuts the whole argument of what the deep state is and how it actually can control everything. So it's more an argument against the deep state is what I'm trying to say, Susan.
It is an argument against the deep state. Well, like you said, the deep state is such a... the term has so many meanings, so many people, that I feel like it's not usable in any actual conversation because there's no way to be sure that you're using the same meaning as anyone else. And also, it's conspiratorial.
Deep state is that everybody has a different definition of what it is. But for the people that believe, especially Trump supporters like Sean Hannity, believe that the deep state is like out to completely destroy Trump or like assassinate him or, you know, undermine everything he does in his presidency. Like, I don't think it actually exists like that.
The thing is, if Strzok and Page had actually wanted to stop Trump, they had it within their power to do so.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like if they really wanted to stop Trump, that was the perfect opportunity to do it before a Trump presidency ever began. So that's why it doesn't help the argument that everything is trying to hurt Trump or his administration.
And from context, it very much seems like conversations that were happening all around America by people who were not FBI agents, people who were upset with things that they were going. And I mean, I know I had conversations like that, like with friends, like he can't get elected, right? Surely he can't. And of course, the deep state is so omnipresent in conversation these days because Trump has fully endorsed it. So I have not had internet access hardly at all. My phone apparently has decided my carrier is not in service for like a 20-mile radius, and it's been terrible. So I only get the Trump tweets like once a day across the bridge and get service, and I'll see them all at once. And it's just shocking how like insane they are. This wash, it's always been that way, but to have like 20 of them like coming at once, and you're like, holy crap, this insanity is never going to end.
You just got to throw your phone in the toilet at that point.
That's my only option at this point. But today he was going off about how, quote, Comey gave Strzok his marching orders. Mueller is Comey's best friend. Witch hunt. Or, it's not true. It's all lies. It's all open lies. It's all intended just to maintain his power and his supporters' willingness to lie for him. We are very close, I think, to losing
we can come back from this, but I think we're rapidly reaching the point where it'll be hard to, I don't want to say impossible, but the fact that we've allowed this to go on so long suggests that we are broken in a certain fundamental way. Leggings are so much more than just workout clothes. Great leggings are a necessity, but that doesn't mean they should cost a fortune, which is why I'm so glad that I found Fabletics.com.
Fabletics, co-founded by Kate Hudson, is premium activewear at a great value. They make the world's best leggings. That's right, world's best. You get performance, quality, and style for 2 to 3 times less than other activewear brands.
Fabletics does have great leggings, and that's what brought me to the brand in the first place. But I gotta say, I've tried their other clothes, and I'm now a huge fan of those too. Their sports bras are amazing, and their new line of workout dresses are fantastic. My favorite in particular is the Tropez dress. It is comfortable, it's easy to move in, and it looks pretty great too.
Well, I have not tried on any Fabletics since I'm a man, but I imagine I would get this for the lady in my life, seeing as how she is trying to get more active. If you sign up for Fabletics, VIPs save 40 to 50% off retail prices and gain access to tons of other exclusive sales and perks.
Just imagine if your favorite store was offering you a discount on all merchandise for the rest of your life. And all you had to do was visit the store each month to check out what was new, with absolutely no pressure to buy. You'd sign up immediately. That's the value you get from Fabletics VIP membership. I love being a VIP, and I know you will too.
So go to Fabletics.com/45th now to get 2 pairs of their amazing leggings for just $24. Seriously, these are the world's best leggings. They're a $99 value, and you'll get 2 for only $24 when you join at Fabletics.com/45th. That's Fabletics.com/45th. Well, since we're running out of time, let's hit on these other two topics. First, Paul Manafort. He was ordered to jail for witness tampering. He has a September trial. And I've seen a few people say, this is completely unfair. He wasn't convicted of witness tampering. What are your thoughts?
So Manafort going to jail is wholly appropriate. Like the judge said, like she can't stop him from calling people and interfering with witnesses. She can't do anything else to stop him from doing this, except by putting him in jail. What he did, this is the appropriate reaction to someone who is consistently interfering with the judicial process. And to see Trump supporters call this unfair or overreach is a cruel dark joke, because God knows worse has happened. Actual injustices happen on a routine daily basis. But of course, when it happens to a rich white guy that's a Republican, it must be a conspiracy. It must be a crime. It must be unconstitutional.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It would have been genuine outrage if they had expressed anything relating to what they're talking about now about bail and how our current system exists with respect to putting people in jail for violating bail. But of course, since it just sounds overly political. And, it is what it is. I don't think Paul Manafort actually got a pretty sweet deal getting the bail that he was set at and being allowed to stay at his incredibly wealthy condo or on house arrest. But
oh, he did. Remember Reality Winner? She's been in jail this whole time for leaking to the press. And there's absolutely no reason to think she was any more of a danger than Manafort. I think there's actually a lot of evidence that she would have been less of a risk outside on bail than Manafort turned out to have been.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see Manafort in September.
Maybe. Don't forget what Giuliani said about how Trump could clean us all up with pardons.
Oh, God, that would really just give me an ulcer.
Unfortunately, it would not give Republicans an ulcer, because they would almost undoubtedly, from what we've seen,
I'll make sure that they're called out for it.
It doesn't matter at this point until...
Well, when the last time you guys recorded, it was right before the Singapore summit between North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un and President Trump. Is that right?
Yes. And we've been dealing with... Well, Trump's been tweeting about the fallout ever since. Now, I know you were a little bit more bullish on the Singapore summit.
Yeah, so I was optimistic initially. I would have preferred that no summit took place at all, just because it probably would have actually looked better for the Trump administration to just say, hey, we got 3 Americans out of North Korea. That's it. We're good. We don't need anything from you. But seeing this meeting happen between Trump and Kim Jong-un, I tried to remain optimistic in the beginning, but after the agreement was signed with no, you know, level of enforcement to whatever agreement they made, you know, I don't have any hope that North Korea will denuclearize on Americans' watch. Like, it just won't happen unless we put some strict parameters in there to get Kim Jong-un to actually act and get rid of his nuclear weapons program. And he got the legitimacy he wanted. I thought that before he wasn't getting the legitimacy that he so wanted before they even met, and I was proven wrong. I thought it was more or less kind of a bad meeting. I don't think it was. I mean, I am all for peace, but I don't think you get there by saying, oh, the threat of nuclear war is over, but oh, North Korea still has all of their nuclear weapons. They can literally renege on the agreement and threaten fire and fury, just like Trump did almost a year ago.
Oh, no, they can't do that because the nuclear threat's gone. Trump tweeted it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm pointing out. It's just the fact that he points it out that just the fact that he says that the nuclear threat is over doesn't mean that the threat is over.
But it's in a tweet.
No, huh?
I'm kidding. I'm just like, I feel like there's no way to even like properly handle this because we're so far beyond reality at this point. When the commander in chief is tweeting false lies about what threats are and are not to Americans at this scale, this like ridiculous level.
It's just too much. I mean, it's, you know, people are talking about him getting the Nobel Peace Prize and like, it's just so, you know, we don't, it's only been a week. And people out here are, you know, saying like, just based on the handshake alone with Kim Jong-un, he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. No, he doesn't. I mean, like, it's going to take years for this to really figure out if this was a success or not. But right now, I'm kind of skeptical, and I don't think that this was an immediate success that he should be touting. He should really just stay focused on trying to get something done to get them to denuclearize, and it doesn't sound like he or anyone in his administration is doing that at the moment.
It was only a success to the extent that Trump was trying to instigate a war with North Korea, and now he is less doing so. Now, that doesn't mean there's less danger.
Silver line. That is a silver lining to this summit, but
except for the fact this now creates a risk of something blowing up and him responding overly aggressively, he overreacting in response to something breaking down. What if Kim Jong-un came out tomorrow and did a nuclear test and just showed how much of a dummy Trump was?
Oh, I mean, like, I could totally. Yeah, exactly. Everything will dissolve and, you know, we'll go right back to the fire and fury talk and it'd be like the summit never happened. Or, you know, it's a bad breakup, if you will.
So this temporary reprieve is not actually, I mean, it may be a false peace. And also, I mean, did you see the study this morning where apparently for Republicans, more have a favorable view of Kim Jong-un than they do Nancy Pelosi?
That's incredible. I didn't hear about that. But, you know, that's a brutal dictator that, you know, has been oppressing 25 million plus North Koreans and
killing Americans.
Otto Warmbier, the perfect example. And there's no excuse for it. You know, glorifying a dictator. I understand how presidents, U.S. presidents, have kind of tried to meet with brutal dictators in the past with no precondition, and it never looks good. I understand why they do it, because they want a diplomatic solution as opposed to a military one. But still, like, this is just over the top crazy that people are glorifying Kim Jong-un this way. He does not deserve any glory. And the fact that Trump has glorified him that way, too, it's really unnerving.
It's not even just glorified. He has envy. He wants what Kim Jong-un has. He joked, quote unquote, that he wanted the Kim Jong-un's like media to apply to him. He stated that Kim Jong-un loves his people and he wants them to pay attention to him. Like, he wants his people to pay attention to him. Republicans don't want a democracy anymore. I know that sounds harsh, but Republicans, meaning people who are supporting the current Republican agenda, they're not desiring a democracy. What they want is Trump to rule everything.
I would push back on that. And I think there are some good Republicans who probably don't want that. But, you know,
I'm sure there are some Republicans who don't feel that way. But then why are they still part of the party that is doing that?
Yeah. Well, I think there are a lot of Republicans who feel they can fight back and gain control of the party.
By not saying anything? I guess I disagree that you can fight back against that by not openly and loudly at every point protesting was happening. If you're trying to oppose a dictatorship by quietly working from within the inside, if that's your genuine intention, well, okay, maybe you don't actually support a dictator, but your actions are doing so anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, it definitely flirts with authoritarian totalitarianism, and it's just not a good look for the Republican Party. Whatever happens in the midterm elections, it's not – if Democrats actually fulfill that blue wave that they kind of been suggesting what will happen, I can't see Republicans really recover unless 2020 happens and Democrats nominate a bozo or a bum, someone who just does not speak to Americans well at all. And I could totally see them do that, which is unfortunate.
You say recover, but how do you define recover? Do you mean turning back in favor of democracy and not separating children?
Well, why would winning in... I mean, I don't even see at this point a path forward for that happening unless they are destroyed so thoroughly for so long or not long. I mean, who could... we're reaching a point where it's not... I'm not saying they are Nazis. Obviously, they have not reached the level of atrocity Nazis have, but they are committing atrocities. And that's going to stain the party name for, I'd like to think, for our lifetimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you and I both lived under George W. Bush, and we thought Republicans couldn't get any lower than they are, and here we are. So,
I mean, that's not to say I'm a fan of George Bush, but I was never, I mean, I'm as a more moderate on the political spectrum, I definitely do not share in the, I don't want to sound like I'm defending Bush, because I got plenty of criticisms there, but I've never felt remotely the way I feel about the current administration, nor do I have the same fears, even when the dumbest things were happening at the height of the Bush era. This is not a quantitative difference, it's a qualitative one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so messy at this point. I don't even know what else to say. I feel like...
It could get bad. That's what I keep wanting... I know I'm over-harping this, but we have no reason right now to believe it could not get really bad. From what we're seeing right now, and we're seeing the acceptance of it in response, we have no objective reason to believe that extreme atrocities couldn't be following, because all the conditions are there.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see it happen.
So what do we do?
It's tough to think about. Well, we just got to call people out on it, I guess, for now. Not a whole lot more we can do at this point.
I'm going to tweet more. That will definitely.
Yeah, that'll impeach Trump.
Yeah. 10 tweets a day to impeach Trump. Yeah, no.
I think we got all the topics in that short span of time.
Yeah, unfortunately, my internet window is closing. But thank you, Siraj. I'm sorry that I was in such a distressed mood today, but it's heartbreaking, and I don't know when it'll get better. And I know that some of my friends tell me, like, they like my show, and they're like, I can't, it's too depressing. And I get it. But nothing, I don't think lying about our current situation or putting a better strong face on is necessarily the way to go.
Well, that's nice that your friends listen to your show. None of my friends listen to any or read any of my stuff.
You should tweet more. That'll fix it.
That'll impeach Trump.
So, all right, Siraj. Well, until next time, let's try and not get nuked.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. We have been produced by Long Arc Digital Media, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. And guess what? You can even leave us a voice message. Call us at 202-670-8345, and you never know, we might just play your message on the air. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.